Good morning, everyone. This is my first accounting academic conference, so interesting to see the discussions and how the flow goes. So if you find me slightly off-center, just bear that in mind. By way of introduction, I'm Seema Jamil O'Neill, Technical Director for the UK Endorsement Board, and you might be wondering who the UK Endorsement Board is, so I'll very briefly cover this. We're the standard setter that adopts IFRS for use in the UK. Two of our statutory functions, one is the adoption piece, the other one is actually influencing the ISB throughout the process. Occasionally, my board members tell me that that means being the pain in the neck all the way through. I'm not quite sure I like that description, however, that's how it goes. The other thing I should say, and I have heard one of the ISB board members describe us as that as well, so no names. The other thing I should highlight is actually the objective for our work is set out in legislation, and it's very much about transparency and international comparability and efficient flow of capital. Just bear that in mind also for some of the comments I might make. Some of the work that we have done has actually focused on research especially, and a couple of areas that I'd mention. So we have done a little bit of research on goodwill and how that's been used by companies in the UK, some views around stakeholders and that. And that was published in 2022. And then we have some reports in the UK, again, on intangible reporting in the UK by companies and UK stakeholder views around that. And that's also published on our website, just so you're aware. Thank you very much for the opportunity to read the paper and the opportunity to comment on it. I found it incredibly interesting. I'll put my remarks into three parts. So the first one is how it contributes to standard setting as I see it. Then secondly, what are the potential extensions of the study that would be of interest actually more widely to standard setting? And then I have some other general comments and observations which it's up to you to take or not take. I won't necessarily say much more than that. So contributions to standard setting. First of all, very timely, so well done, because I think, as you're aware, the debate is live as we speak, and there's a huge amount of interest in this, not just by standard setters, by the way, by investors as well. So in the UK, we spend a lot of time talking to investors, and they have very strong views on this topic. So this is of real interest to them. The other thing it does is actually provides evidence to that international debate, and the debate is about recognition and subsequent measurement. But I think quite often this topic around impairment, etc., is actually not really researched. So that's also really good to have that at this stage. So you distinguish between three types of intangibles. Again, that's valuable. I heard the comment from the lady before. I think it's Iona. That was interesting, but actually, you're right. The intangibles do get split into those three types of categories, and it's worthwhile looking at them in that way. There's been some discussion in the standard setting community about the spectrum of intangibles that arise from different transactions. So that kind of nuance is really particularly helpful. And the other thing, I think, the relevance to considering what extent an intangible item's characteristics should determine accounting treatment, again, that's also helpful. But I think the thing there are two things I found really particularly interesting. I found the observations about amortization, especially potentially observing impairments for finite intangibles interesting, partly because actually there is this discussion that because they get amortized, impairment is almost irrelevant for those types of assets. So it's interesting to see that you're finding some correlation still with business characteristics. But the point I found the most interesting was that actually the management discretion point, which, to be perfectly honest, exists throughout, so at the outset and then all the way through on these impairment issues. But the fact that corporate governance actually plays such a major part in this, we all sort of know this, but actually to have that in a study is really helpful to understand. And the way we characterize it in the UK is that actually standards themselves have to work in concert with audit, enforcement, company law, and so that it's almost like an orchestra working out together to deliver that transparency to investors and the capital markets. So I think your study is actually providing some input into that, and that's really has been helpful for us to actually see that characterized. So extending this work, and I am really focusing more from a standard setter's perspective and where the areas you might consider going forward. So possible extensions, and you, I don't know whether you have done this. It's certainly not something that came across to me and my team when we looked at this. But you might want to just analyze the data by different industries. So some of the work that we've done, actually, depending on industries, they have different types of intangibles, which means impairments can differ by industry. Then the other thing we thought was actually critical audit matters, or in international parlance, I think key audit matters. I don't know whether you tested for that, because sometimes that can have relevance in that space. And then just looking at the fact that this is mainly SEC data, US data, whether you found any SEC enforcement letters for any of those companies, and to see whether the findings differ if you cut it in those different ways. You could also, so one other point I think I wanted to mention is around further studies about one of the questions, at least, I think that's quite interesting to standard setters, and it is that whether the decision usefulness of recognized impairments differ for different categories of intangible assets. So you may wish to consider that. It's up to you. And then lastly, I think just some general observations. I'm on time, man. Like the Germans. First of all, really huge congratulations on the hand-collected data and the quantum of it. I know from the work that my team did how difficult that is and how difficult it is to get the accuracy. So huge congratulations. And I think you have a resource that you can actually continue to utilize for further studies. So I think you've already generated an intangible asset for yourself, in my opinion. The other thing to just, so some of the comments to note is you've got a long time period, which does add complexity to your results, in my opinion. There've been a lot of regulatory and economic changes, and I'm not sure how that's impacted your results. And you might want to think about that if you haven't thought about that already. The other thing to note is this is US data. So US GAAP is a single jurisdiction. IFRS applied to multiple jurisdictions. So both thinking in terms of management discretion, but also the corporate governance point, actually different levels of corporate governance applied around the world. And IFRS is applied around the world. And so that reliance on corporate governance is slightly reduced, and what the implications of that are would be of interest possibly, but it does mean that it can't directly be applied sometimes to the IFRS thinking. And the last point, I think I just wanted to point out some of the differences between US GAAP and IFRS, which may lead to some of this incentivization by management. So in US GAAP, there are no reversals of impairment. That is actually possible in IFRS. And then secondly, in US GAAP, fair value is compared to the carrying amount. IFRS compares it to the recoverable amount. Again, that may have some implications. So that may actually mean that management has more incentive or disincentive to recognize impairments in US than they may do in the IFRS regime. And I don't know whether you want to look at it, but that I think to our mind at least is something we would be wanting to think about. So I will now finish and say a huge congratulations to the actual authors on this very interesting and topical study. Thank you very much, and thank you for the opportunity.